Good morning. Continuing with the satsang of Pujaniro Ma in Simandar City DVD, December 8th, 2009. Now she is talking about vevar. Vevar means worldly interactions. There is the S capital self, and then there is the rest, which is the worldly interaction. You can have. And now Niruma is talking about different types of worldly interactions. Pure worldly interaction called Shuddha Vevar and Uchit Shuddha Vevar, which is a high normality. In other words, now she is saying that the Mahatmas have. The interaction of Mahatmas after five Agnas is Shuddha Vevar with the world. It is pure interaction. It is because internally that's where they are in five Agnas and also in Pratikraman. Shuddha Vevar means what? What is Shuddha Vevar? Pure interaction. Whatever worldly interaction that arises after having attained the S capital self, the rest is all called Shuddha Vevar, means pure worldly interaction. And until the self has been attained, if the self has not been attained, then the worldly interaction is shifting between auspicious and inauspicious, good and bad, harmful and hurtful, versus helpful and pleasant to others. For the worldly interaction in the phase of duality is associated with charging of new karma and is associated with ego. But after the self-realization, Akram Vignan, the Vyavar, the worldly interaction of the Mahatma is pure, is considered pure because it is for him a matter of equanimity only, and there is no ego associated with that which is essentially discharging in the current life, and there is nothing new charges. Whereas in the unenlightened state, in the ignorant state, there is the ego associated with the charging, and the ego is the reason for the charge, and therefore even though it may be good or bad, there is continuous charging of the and there is charging of karma. Whereas for Mahatmas, it is a discharging worldly interaction that is being settled without any ego and is associated with purity of interactions at the bhav level, at the intent level, even though at the action level it may be unfolding otherwise, and which is not under the control of the person who is doing it. And it is, therefore, it is not Nikali for those who are not enlightened. In other words, that worldly interaction which does not have the S capital self as the base and does not include the S capital is never considered pure interaction. It may be considered good and bad interaction. However, it is never called pure interaction. Pure interaction is only that which is associated with the awareness of the self in the self as well as in the others around. So that vevar, that world interaction which takes into account the pure soul, is considered pure voli, pure interaction. Now good interaction, sadvevar, is that world interaction which is associated with good activity in religious matters, and therefore he progresses towards the path of on the door which leads to the door of liberation. However, he does not get liberated. He still has to get the liberation, to study the scriptures, to listen to worldly gurus, to listen to words of Vedanta or Jain Darshan, etc., to listen to holy books and scriptures, to listen to their interpretation is all sadvevar. It's all interaction that is going to lead towards the state of liberation, but it is not going to grant liberation. One will still have to attain the self. And these are associated with ego, and these are associated with subtle kashais, because the ego is the owner of the kashais. Where in the pure akram vignan state, there is no owner of the kashais, and because there is no ego, and therefore it is all discharging kashais, and that is not considered good or bad vyavar. It is just nikali, or discharging worldly interaction, which is being settled with equanimity, which is being settled with equanimity by the owner of those that discharge in the one which is by the owner of the non-self complex. Nothing new charges for such a one, and the old one is becoming discharged too. And this is how the path of liberation is crossed. It is on the foundation of the worldly interaction that the self is resting. However, nonetheless, the worldly interaction is considered something to be settled and something to be disposed of. Mahatma in Akram does not scorn, or does not walk away from, or does not reject or renounce what is in front of him, whether it is children or wife or parents or the current vocation or whatever is in front of him. And those in the non-akram path, they are constantly negating the worldly interactions, and that is not right, because the worldly interactions can never be negated or scorned or walked away from or rejected. They are an integral part of the one who one is, and until the final liberation, one will have to face the vyavar, the worldly interaction. Until the ultimate liberation, nirvana, one will have to face the worldly interaction through the essential medium of these thought, speech and actions, where the mind will always be there. Even if one goes to the Himalayas or to Rishikesh or to the finest ashrams in the world where there is spiritual teaching going on, one still carries with him his mind, his intellect, his speech and his ego. And as long as there is the ego with him, the sansar, the worldly interaction is still there. For the one who has attained the self, SELF, and has crossed over into the boundary from the non-self complex into the eternal realm of the self, the non-self complex interactions are not his own, and therefore it is that which is to be seen as it is, as it unfolds, and not to be fought with, not to be rejected, not to be scorned, not to be manipulated, but to be settled only as it is, with the natural equanimous state that has been attained because of the attainment of the self. Now this is like this. Let's talk, as Niruma says, let's see what it is like. Vyavar and Nishchay. Nishchay means as capital self, and Vyavar is worldly interactions. You've seen how these multi-story buildings are being made. He says when they put a slab, he says, in other words, when they do the centering, there is an initial centering of a building, and they do it exactly right when they're constructing. They center it, and then they pour the concrete over it. In other words, they want to make sure that it is exactly vertical, and then leave it as it is for 21 days, because centering means to have the external pillars which will hold the concrete on the wood. So then therefore they keep the concrete in it for 21 days until it really solidifies. Just this. And so, and if it is huge slabs like our Adalaji Sri Mandir, then they will keep it for a month, this concrete, in which has been poured into foundations and in certain particular columns. And the longer, the stronger you want it to be, the more you keep it inside. Once it has become very solid, then they remove the supporting pillars of wood, etc., from the concrete. And so the slab is the nishchay. There's also, and the centering, so those supporting slabs of wood are really the worldly interactions. So until one attains the S capital self, and until one has really become very solid in the S capital state, the worldly interactions are a necessity, and one will have to necessarily deal with it. One cannot negate or run away or negate or be done with the worldly interactions, and likewise one cannot never talk about the absolute self, as it is done in Vedanta and Upanishads, etc., in negation of the essential relative nature of reality, which is this. In other words, one can never say exclusively anything all about the self capital and Atma, and totally neglect the fact that I am Patrick, I am Jeff, I am Nada, I am Kimochi, etc. So whereas now Niruma says that, you know, certain in the Jain religion, they are so very detailed in their worldly interactions. They are constantly thinking about little nitty-gritty things in worldly interactions. And they to the point where they want to may show the best face to the world. And some others are really cannot like this nitty-gritty, deep delving into the worldly interactions, so that they and which essentially causes one to lose a lot of time. So now, to the point where the intellect gets so sharpened up that they are deeply involved in worldly interactions, and they tend to forget the self, even though their aim is the self. All this exactness in the world was meant to ultimately attain the self as capital, not to really improve your worldly interactions and worldly state of the seventh generation of your grandson's grandson to exactness, so that you do not enter into worldly difficulties. The intellect was meant to really be used wisely, so that one would arise to the level of the S capital self, and at least move towards the S capital self. However, when the sharper the intellect, the more one goes deeper into the subtle layers and aspects of worldly interactions, he gives more fuel and fire to kashayas only at a very subtle level. Whereas in the Vaishnavas, etc., the non-Jain religions, they have more open kashayas and less subtle kashayas, because they really do not go deeper into such exactness of trying to really get it to get the worldly life into exactness. So and do you see, do you have to really decorate these supporting woods of the concrete slabs? Because once the building is ready, once the concrete is ready, you're going to remove it. In the same way, once the concrete within is all set, the S capital is already been attained, and then the rest is to be removed and to be done with. Dada has said that the real Shuddha Vyavahar, pure worldly interactions, is he says, really, Dada says, even if you're cursing somebody, your worldly interaction is pure. And why is that? Because at that time, you inside, because inside you are regretting it, you are saying this is not the way I want it to be. There is internal pratikramans that are going on, and hearty pratikramans are going on. And the equanimity is remaining, In discharge, there may be inequanimity, disequanimity, lack of equanimity. He may be shouting and cursing, but internally he is still. And the other Shri says, "Go. I consider your world interaction as pure. I consider your world interaction as pure. Go, my Mahatma, because internally you are free. And what is happening is the result of past life. You cannot change in at all. Yes, of course, it will not. It is will not be considered pretty and ideal and pleasant to others. But it is Shuddha. It may not be acceptable by the world, but it is Shuddha. It is pure, Shuddha." But whereas in the world of people who are not enlightened, who are ignorant, who continue on the basis of "I am Jeff, I am Nada, I am Patrick," they are constantly striving to improve their vyavahar from bad to good, and they're trying to improve it through the medium of the ego, from the medium of ego. Let me give you some examples, says Niruma. What is Shubha Vyavahar, auspicious interaction? Good. That which does not hurt anyone else. No one is hurt to the slightest extent. No one suffers any kind of loss to the slightest extent on your account. That is called Shubha Vyavahar. Shubha. Shubha means auspicious, good, helpful. Ashubha means inauspicious or hurtful or harmful. That hurts others through these thoughts, speech and actions, and that creates a loss to them. That is called Ashubha. A-S-H-U-B-H-A, Ashubha Vyavahar. Ashubha Vyavahar, worldly interaction, is very dangerous. Because, for example, supposing there is somebody who goes, supposing a hunter goes to the forest to hunt a deer. He hunts a deer. Why? Because he just wants to have the fun of it. He does not have any need for it. He is not hungry. He does it just for the fun of it, just for the sports of it. Around the fall, in October and November, all over USA, in the forest, they do that. Just for the fun of it. Niruma says, such a person will end up in hell. He will have to go to hell because he does it for fun only. He is not hungry. This is very extremely dangerous. This is very, very dangerous. Now the next one, then Niruma says, and he says, these such people, just to support their ego, will kill hundreds of thousands in other lands, just to support his own ego. They will not think twice about bombing people in other lands, because that is the ego that is the destroyer and the destructor of such people. But there are three levels of it: those who instigate it, those who do it, and those who do it by remote control. And the worst sin effects come to the one who do it by remote control. This is called Ashuddha. Ashubh is not even Ashubh, Ashuddha. So Ashuddha, this hunter hunting for fun, is called Ashuddha, absolutely on the other side of pure. It is called totally impure vyavahar. It is neither good nor bad. It is on the other pole of Shuddha, which is purity. It is in the other pole of the worst kinds of worldly interaction in the world. Other pole, it is in the other pole, as opposed to the ideal, purest kind. So generally people are in Shubh and Ashubh. They are in good and bad, vacillating between good and bad worldly interactions. And in the Shubha, and the, for instance, the one who is in Shubha Vyavahar, he will remain hungry but will not kill anybody. He will remain hungry and give his food to the people who are hungry in his home, and will adjust to everyone. And he never worries about where his food is coming from. And so if he is told, "Today there is no food at home, I'm going to go out. You find, make your own food." Then he'll say, "Okay, that's fine." Otherwise he'll say, "How dare you go? You're always walking away. You're never around at home. You better cook something for me before you leave. You just can't take off like that," etc. So that is the other standard approach. That is called Ashubha. It is impure vyavahar. It's hurtful vyavahar. Shuddha vyavahar means. But as in Shubha Vyavahar in Akram, Shuddha Vyavahar in Akram, he might, he he might not like his wife going away so that he doesn't have anything to eat in the evening, but he will say, oh, I don't know why you have to go. He might say, I don't like you going away and not be giving any food. But inside he is doing pratikraman because he is saying, I am pure soul, I am pure soul. Don't you think that Dada Shri has done made this worldly interaction so simple in these four categories? And is it not easy now, therefore, to really go towards moksha, final liberation? Is it not easy? Everybody is raising their hands. Yes, it is easy. Raise your hands, those who find this easy. Everybody likes this, says Niruma. Everybody's raised their hands. They think that now it is easy to go to moksha, now that they understand how easy it is to deal with in the world. There are only four categories of worldly interactions. And the highest one is of the Mahatma, who is aware of the fact that he is no longer the doer of these worldly interactions. And if anything negative happens through these thought, speech and actions, he is doing pratikraman. And a Mahatma of Dada Shri is constantly washing the filled junk that is expressing in front of him. Up until now, before Gnan, we used to be the owner of this junk. Oh, we used to say, this is my hand, this is my mind, this is my actions. I am the one who screwed up. I am the one who has sinned. I have committed a sin. I have erred. I have hurt other people, etc. Now he realizes that this is a filled junk that was filled in the last life and is expressing in this life. He is no longer the owner of it. So we should not let go of the S capital self. We should be installed and instilled in the S capital self like a solid central concrete slab of a huge kind, from which everything else has to be dealt with as it is, as it unfolds, and to be let go. So yes, if file number one, if Nada, if Jeff, Kimochi or Patrick end up hurting anyone, then you should immediately say, hey, you Kimochi, shut up. You should not be saying this thing. Come on, do pratikraman. You should not be hurting anybody else. This is because, therefore, at the base of it all, the reason the self is telling Kimochi, he recognizes that this is no longer mine, this junk that is unfolding through thought, speech and action, that which is hurting everyone. This is the same thing that Lord Krishna told Arjun on the battlefield. He says, you believe that he is your uncle, your teacher, your spiritual master, that they are all your brothers, but they are not yours. This is the ultimate tattva gnan. This is the ultimate tattva gnan. This is the ultimate elemental principle. If you apply it, you are free. But this is not to be applied by those who have not received the self, S-E-L-F, in the gnan vidhi of Dada Shri. It is only for those who have attained the indelible conviction and the pratiti and the awareness and the experience of the self, which can only happen in the gnan vidhi of Dada Shri through the grace of the gnani and through a total surrender that is required initially for the one who says, I'm willing to give up my ego of I know. So, and he killed, Arjun killed millions. He killed millions. Not a single karma did he bind. Not a single sin did he bind. Not a single act was considered sinful. And in that very life, he attained nirvana. He went to moksha. And can you imagine the kind and the energy of this knowledge that he had attained? And this is the same knowledge that you attain at an experiential level when you enter into the gnan vidhi of Dada Shri. So, there was a man who was very kashai. He was a Jain gentleman. He had a lot of anger, greed, deceit, and he came to have a direct interaction with Dada. He used to ask all kinds of questions. And he was... He liked Dada's works, and then he asked Dada, I said, sir, you are such amazing gnani. Why are you traveling in cars? Because if you travel in cars, so many insects will die, and so many insects come underneath the thing. Dada Shri replies, my brothers, listen. When you are walking barefoot as a Jain, that is, you believe that it is my foot, is it not? That is why you are walking barefoot, right? Therefore, you think that I should not kill an insect with my foot, right?
Yes.
Therefore, he says, therefore, if you believe that it is your foot, then you will have the sin karma for you. I, for not a second, even believe that this is my foot or this my body or my mind or my speech or my actions. And therefore, I am not the owner of these things, and therefore, nothing will touch me. And Dadashri, despite having said that, Dadashri would not deliberately kill an insect or a fly or any little insect. If he sees a little bed bug sucking blood on his skin, he would let it have its total fill until it swells up, and then it will gently pick it up and put it on the side. This is how Jnani Purush was even before he attained the knowledge. And after knowledge, he became totally free from any ownership of this body. And so whatever the body was doing, he was not part of it at all. And that is in the state of absolute non-violence. Supposing you have a very, very, supposing you have a very huge amount of land, for it has come into your heritage years after generations after generations, and it has got all kinds of things on that land. And if supposing you have a lot of land, says Niruma, And supposing you then sell off the land, then he says, let me just do Shuddhatma. What am I going to do with this land? So you say you sell off that land. Alright, now Niruma says, supposing after you sell it off, the next day, after selling the land, the excise people come, the income tax people come, they raid your land, and they handcuff you and take it away. And then you ask why. He says, in your land we found stolen goods. We found illegal weapons of terrorism, etc., in your land. So many rifles, etc., and all those mortars, etc. AK-47, says Niruma. He says, we found AK-47 rifles in your sins. That's why they are taking you away. So then initially you'll totally collapse. Oh man, I'm gone now. But then at the next instant, you will remember, and then and so they come with the, then your people come, you're with the lawyer to release you from the jail, and then they show this piece of paper, say, hey, look, see this, it was sold yesterday, we are no longer the owner of this land. It has been sold to him. I am no longer the owner of this land. And will he not leave you? Will that person not leave you? And he says, this is the evidence, I can't touch you. And he says, this is, so supposing this guy says, no, but this is the evidence. He says, there are trees growing above it. It was growing below a tree. He says, I'm not the owner. You can't catch me. So this is, if your ownership leaves, wherever your ownership leaves, you become flawless. You, nothing touches you. Then you are nirdosh. As long as you have the idea that I am the owner of this body, then you are committing sins. All sins will attach to you. All hurtful actions will attach to you. But if you are no longer the owner of this body, this speech, these thoughts, these actions, then nothing will touch you, and thereby you will attain final liberation. This is a guarantee. This is exactly what the Jnanis are telling you in depth. This is Shuddha Vyavahar. This is absolutely pure worldly interaction. And the other people are just trying to struggle from the shubha, from the ashubha, the inauspicious, the hurtful towards the auspicious, the good, vyavahar, worldly interactions. So they do not have So whatever they do, those people in the worldly level, they believe that they are just the doers of it all, and therefore, so there is a world of difference between these people and the people. And so whether you walk barefoot to avoid hurting insects, or whether you move about in trains and aeroplanes and Mercedes cars, what difference does it make if you are not the owner of this body at all? Yes, it's the inner link that what causes. Yes, Niruma says we have to travel in flights also. Niruma says we use our own money, we use our own. We use an air-conditioned car, but we use our own money. Yes. Yes, and when we don't have money, then we go in a train too. So we don't mind walking, going in a third class money too. So when money comes, then we travel in luxury. But when there is no money, we travel in third class too. We are constantly traveling. We are in here traveling, yatra. We are constantly mobile. So with the reason we are traveling and we are traveling faster is because we want to save the time of people. Please recognize that this is not a luxury for us, it is a necessity for us. We are neither in luxury nor the opposite of luxury, which is frugality and bare necessities. We accept whatever arises in front of us. Of course, we are deeply concerned about spreading this to as many people as possible. So we do it by the best possible manner and move fast as much as we can, says Niruma. When Dada had the fracture of his hip, it was very difficult for him to then climb the stairs of the train as well as so then in the car, and therefore then we started flying Dada by aeroplane. But we would not accept it. Dada would say, "No, I can manage. But have you ever tried to lift up somebody and put him in onto a train in India? So can you imagine, all day he has to travel and the seats are not good. Dada had a fractured hip that was not operated upon and were healed naturally, but he had a shorter leg as a consequence. So it is the merit karma that is being used. It is what the merit karma. And Deepak Bhai has less punya. He says, and they said, "Deepak Bhai," everybody says, "Deepak Bhai, you just had a big surgery. Why don't you go?" Deepak Bhai said, no, I don't want to go. But then we have to force him to go, because Deepak Bhai had major abdominal surgery and he came back, but he still would avoid. He says, no. But then, so he would avoid traveling in luxury up until recently, when he has to be in so many different places of the world. So, Deepak Bhai did not bring his merit karma punya in this travel and in luxury. But Niruma says, "I have brought us all these merit karma effects, and I wanted to spend it all into the merit karma for the use of salvation of the world only." So, if I go to in front of Simhan Swami and if I have to walk naked, that's fine. Let me at least wear the white saris that I like right now. Because Simhan Swami might tell me to walk around naked, so then I may have to walk around naked. It may not be necessary. What difference does it make, says Niruma? So we need to be done with whatever we have. If we have, but to hang on to saying this is mine, I'm going to enjoy it, I'm going to spend it, I save it, etc. What are you going to do? You got so many years left only now. If somebody says, Niruma, you're not supposed to wear saris, you have to wear jeans, then I will say, if they insist, then I'll wear jeans if I need to. It doesn't matter to me. If they want me to wear jeans, I'll wear jeans. Dimple says, Niruma, don't teach them, otherwise they will make you wear jeans. He says, otherwise they'll make you a sweet 16. I'm not see. I'm sweet 16. I'm 17. He says, I'm sweet 16 only, says Niruma. And he says, I always feel like I'm sweet 16 only. Why do I need to grow old? People may say I'm getting old, but why should I believe that I'm getting old? I'm pure soul. The pure soul is ageless. He says, even the mind will become old and the speech will become old, but I will not become old, I am eternal. And even Dada was 8 years old, close to 80, but he never said that I am old. He would just constantly be in the Anant Shakti, the infinite. Even if he was so weak, he would never accept or believe. If you say you are weak, you will collapse. You should never say that I am sick. Never allow yourself to be considered that I am sick. Never say that. Never say that. We remain strong. Remain in full nishchay, the S capital self. And be that. Be capital and T capital. Yes, the Pudgal will show its nature, the non-self complex will show its nature. It will rise and fall, but you need to remain in the S capital self and continue doing the work of Jagat Kalyan, the salvation of the world. Yeah, there are a lot of people who will take care of you. Yes, they do take care of me, Niruma says. Yes, they're all there to take care of me. And there are all kinds of homeopathic and allopathic and Ayurvedic doctors working on me. all they hear that Niruma has got something, all three categories of experts they land on my around me, trying to take care of me. So they do their thing and I do my thing. They do their thing to this body and I do my thing, which is the thing of the self, S capital. If they say take this, I'll try it. I'll try everybody. I'll not reject anyone, says Niruma. This is all Nikali, means disposing worldly interaction. This is just settling worldly interactions. Therefore, the vevar, the worldly interactions of our Mahatmas is not going to appear pleasant. It's going to look crazy and weird. It may sound very obnoxious to some. It may feel unpleasant, but nonetheless it is shuddha, it is pure. They are all going to go to moksha. Once we had a new Mahatma. A Mahatma now who has passed away now. And it's Jasubhai Shah who did Srimad Rajchandra, who followed Srimad Rajchandra for 30 years and used to live close to Dada Shri. But it took him 25 years to come to Dada. He used to insist that there was nobody like Srimad. And then he came into Dada Shri and Akram Vignan, and he really wanted everyone to, all from Srimad Rajchandra, to come to Akram Vignan. And there was a Janma Jayanti in Baroda. Once he called his entire team. He says, let them. He called the entire team of Srimad Rajchandra followers, who are very disciplined, who are very gentle. They are the Kramic path. They are very careful in their worldly interactions. And so they all came. And whereas Akram is all open, there is everything going on, there is no law there. So he brought all of these devotees of Srimad Rajchandra to Dada on the Janma Jayanti in Vadodara. And then he saw One day, Dada. And then he says, Dada, okay, Dada, what shall I tell our Mahatmas? There is no discipline among our Mahatma. There is no discipline, there is no etiquette, there is no world interaction. They are jumping the queue, they are sometimes pretty obnoxious. And says, yesterday I brought all my friends, but supposing I told him to do this and do this, you got this. If I have to give them important work, he says when you come in, everybody singing Asim Jijikar, and they leave their work and they just forget themselves and they just come after you. They're supposed to watch that and watch that and watch that. He says he will just leave the water there, not even serve a glass of water to the other person, and run after you, Dada. What kind of a behavior and vevar, worldly interaction is that? These are guests who came. These are guests. Don't you think there should be some discipline and some order and some way of receiving these new people? Dada Shri says, we are not supposed to see discipline here. There is no discipline. You have to see the love here, not the discipline. The one in discipline is kind of tight, uptight, and there is no love there. It is more of a formality. It is more of a, it is not from the heart, it is from the head. It is all exact, it's all rehearsed, it is all planned, it is all by invitations, etc., etc. Whereas here, this is open and hearty and with love only. Those people do not know how to talk. They just have to cram their speeches. They have to prepare their speeches. Whereas here it is spontaneous and natural, and it is with love. So the others awoken the eye of this lawyer gentleman, who was a very good, very good lawyer in Baroda, long time neighbor of Dada, but took 25 years for him to come to Dada, because he was deeply devoted to the former Gnani, Srimad Rajchandra, who was here in this in Gujarat 125 years ago, and happened to be the Guruji of Mahatma Gandhi. So now talking about Vani, who couldn't find a thing around Nima. Vani is in. If she cannot find it, is Vani sir here? No, she's not. Where is she? Oh, Niruma says that. Where is she? Oh, she must be next door only. And then she came. What happened? She says, she's lost her purse or something. So Nipal asked, did you have this the knowledge of Yavasthit? Yes, the knowledge of it. He says, how did you come? She says, I just came walking. In other words, she lost her sandals. So did you? It was expensive, 30 pounds sandals that were lost here. He says, but when I walked without sandals in this soil of India, she used to live in London, then I realized how much attached I was, moha, to those 30 pound slippers. And so in other words, she's only 14 years old, says Niruma. But she says, I was able to see my illusory attraction to those slippers. So there was a little rain and there was mud, and so her feet were all dirty. So he says, let the slippers go, says Niruma, but at least you had some gnan that awakened within you, the moha, is it not? So Niruma is now initiating, or the beginning of training of Vanessa in this is a CVCD, at least almost 10 years ago. Vanessa appears like a 14 year old only, and now she is, because as Niruma says, that with this particular level her vevar is shuddha, because because she remained in Gnan, she knew that it was Vyavasthit that happened, and so Rimi hung on to her equanimity. We did not make a big fuss about losing expensive slippers, and so this is an example of Shuddha Vyavahar, pure worldly interaction. You don't. So in other words, it doesn't matter how you decorate it. It is nishchay means the slab. The slab of concrete vyavahar is those supporting structures which are around it to keep it, but you don't need it completely. Afterwards, it just becomes nikali, or that is to be settled. He says, we really did not have any awareness and we were just walking in the worldly life, and all of a sudden we were graced with this tremendous and phenomenal knowledge. It is like getting a lottery and you become a millionaire, multi-millionaire overnight. Then if you become a multi-millionaire, supposing you become a billionaire overnight, you will have zero idea of how to spend the money. You will have zero awareness of how to spend all this money, because you have been earning salary by salary in life, and so he will become crazy. And in the same way, you get the light of the sun, of a million suns in this Gnanvidhi, and up until then you had been using a little candle of your intellect only, and you don't know how to use this light of this beautiful light of this of the sun that you are, the self that you have attained in the Gnanvidhi. And so initially you screw up, you mess up, you don't know what to do, you still hang on to the light of the intellect, and so now she's singing Dada, and whatever we are yours, Dada. We are your weird kids, Dada. We are dumb and stupid. We don't know anything, Dada. And however we are, Dada. We are yours, Dada. We are only, however we are, good or bad, we are yours, Dada. Who has seen the world tomorrow? Only today is what counts, is it not, Dada? We are yours only, Dada. Now she is ad-libbing. She says, no matter how we are all going to go to moksha only. We are all going to go to moksha. We are going to attain final liberation, no more re-entry into any body state. We are all on the path of liberation, Niruma, says Dada. Yes, we are going to go to moksha. We are going to call Pujashri. Now he is in Jamnagar, which is right on in the deeper parts of Savrashtra. And he is there today. Tomorrow is going to be the Gnanvidhi, or today? Today? Tomorrow, anyway, another Gnanvidhi bus, a bus load of people going there from all the way from Simhadri city. And now we have Deepak. Yes, Deepak Bhai is on. How many? About 400 ma, 350 to 400 mahatma. He says, how come? Oh, that's quite a few. There's quite a presence, says Deepak Bhai. Okay, let us do Vidhi. Yes, everybody is increasing in awareness, is it not? Yes. Machu shuddhat, 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 machu शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा आत्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा 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 छूं शुद्धात्मा छूं शुद्धात्मा शुद्धात्मा छूं 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 जय What did you do? What satsang? It was on world interactions without kashayas. And we discussed about shubh, ashubh, shuddha and shubh vasad. Very nice, says Deepak Bhai. He's just asking. Very good. Jai Sachidananda. Jai Sachidananda.